Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Here's a great feed. Lillard feeds Giannis, and Giannis rams it home on a tremendous two-man action there.
Bucks Talk starts now.
He's fouled with 3.3 seconds to go, and ding-dong, the witch is dead. I believe the Bucks finally have put this one to bed.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other way to put it other than it always feels good to beat the Indiana Pacers, and it especially feels good after the way things went on Tuesday night in that loss, the only loss the Bucks suffer this regular season against Indiana. It has been markedly different the way the Bucks have matched up with the Pacers this season opposed to last season. Certainly the moves the Bucks made at the trade deadline, a big piece of that in the likes of Kyle Kuzma and guys like Jericho Sims and Kevin Porter Jr. and what we saw from that duo tonight, especially KPJ in the last few games here. It's led to different lineups and looks that we've seen. Case in point tonight, we got a look at Giannis at the five, playing next to Kyle Kuzma and Torian Prince, albeit for limited minutes, and you get the sense it happened because of a thumb issue that Jericho Sims suffered in the opening first half of this game. But you start to see more of that. We're starting to see more of Kevin Porter Jr. playing alongside Damian Lillard as well. The fourth quarter may not have been pretty for the Bucks. All the questions that we've had about the offense and can it get to the level it needs to get to in the clutch and in the fourth quarter, not necessarily answered tonight. But you'll take the win because of what this one meant. You secure the head-to-head tiebreaker. If you lost this game, you lose the tiebreaker to the Pacers. So just as we said, hey, you're a game up on Indiana now. It's basically a two-game margin by way of having the tiebreaker. You only got 16 games left. It's not a whole lot of ground to make up that type of distance with 16 games, and especially with a five-game West Coast trip looming for the Bucks. A matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who've already won 55 games this season, tomorrow night here in this building. You didn't want to be working from that position to say, okay, it's gone against the Cavs, against the Celtics, against the Knicks, and now against the Pacers. To be sitting at fifth in the Eastern Conference, not having the tiebreaker against any of the top four seeds, and potentially not having it against the Detroit Pistons, too, depending on what happens in those final two games, the final weekend of the regular season. So this was very, very much a necessary win tonight for the Bucks. And for the most part, I think you like what you saw. The big thing that we're going to get to was the turnovers. That was a big, big issue Tuesday night against the Indiana Pacers. It was a huge issue tonight. The Pacers in the last two games have scored 23 and 26 points off of Bucks turnovers. For a team that averages around 16 points off of turnovers per game, 49 points in these two games, you can point to the turnovers for the reason why the Pacers had that chance down the stretch in the game that they eventually won on Tuesday. And you can point to the turnovers tonight and say, when the Bucks weren't doing that, they built up the lead to 21-19, consistently pushing those margins. Turnovers and live ball turnovers is what propelled Indiana to a 9-0 run the first time the Bucks raced out to that 19-point lead, to a similar run in the fourth quarter when it felt like the game was in a comfortable spot. Cleaning up those turnovers is imperative, and it cannot happen in the postseason against the likes of teams you're going to be playing in. Defense that gets ratcheted up a level as well. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. As again, Bucks take this one 126-119. A lot of subplots. The play that we continue to see from Kevin Porter Jr., what Gary Trent Jr. is giving that second unit, the way the defense looked from that second unit especially. Giannis fouls out in this game, so there's a lot to touch on along the way, but plenty of time to hear from you as well. Again, that number to join us, 855-616-1620. We got a couple of people on hold, including Dick in Port Washington. We'll hear from them after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Halliburton. Halliburton tonight, 14 points, but he's got 11 assists, another double-double, and Giannis rumbling through the teeth of the defense. He stuffs it down with a one-hand jam, and the Bucks have stretched out to an 8-point lead. Antetokounmpo, 30 points.
He finished the game with 34, did Giannis, and when he was on the floor, the Indiana Pacers really had no answer for him. His efficiency, again, he continues to find easy, open looks for his teammates as well. And you go back to what Doc Rivers said after that game and that loss to the Pacers on Tuesday, where I forget what the exact verbiage was, but essentially this game was the template. This is exactly how we want to play. We thought our offense was great. We got good looks. Talking with some of the Bucks coaches as well, and the way they grade the quality of looks that they got, they felt pretty good about the looks that they got. Not so much about the quality of looks that they gave up to the Indiana Pacers in that game. And I think you saw similar things tonight, where the Bucks were shooting well above 60% for almost the duration of this game until the fourth quarter, where things started to cool down a bit. Cool down to the sense that you still finished the game shooting about 55%. But the offense, no questions there. It was pockets with the defense, and why this Indiana Pacers team specifically just seems to give the Bucks some fits. Granted, not quite as much as we saw a year ago, but it still persists from time to time. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. If you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. Dick, you were here tonight?
Yes, I was. I'm on the way home. Happy as heck. The best part of the entire night was to see the zero from Oshkosh walk off the court, not acknowledge any member of the Bucks. The only thing that was missing with him is he usually has a towel over his head hiding his pleasure. But I don't know what's wrong with the guy. But that's just a sidelight. The turnovers were horrible. Just like the other night, and you know, my wife went to the game with me. You know, she pointed out to me, she mentioned that they seem to make the pass and then realize it's too late, that they shouldn't have made the pass. But I think this is stuff that can be worked on in practice. The other night she mentioned that you said you didn't have a concern with Dean, but that there's just something quite not right. I don't know what it is. I kind of saw that tonight, too. I mean, he played well, and maybe we're expecting too much. And the last thing I'm going to say is that anybody that has any doubts about the three guys we picked up at the trade deadline or when we made the trades and everything, those should be way down the river and flushed in the ocean by now. Yeah. Those three guys are built and legit. So, yeah. I tried to see you in your bubble tonight, but I didn't see you up there. So,
We're not in the bubble anymore. That's TV that took that actual booth portion.
Oh, okay. So well, the lady that stopped me from getting around to look in there said, "Oh, yeah, that's the radio." So, where do you guys sit? Across the way?
We're across the way.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your take on the game, besides about what I said?
You know, I agree with most of what you said there. It's a Pacers team that's been playing pretty well defensively. Like, they are not the team that they were a year ago. I don't know that I'd say the Pacers are an elite defense. But they've been a solid defense all season long. And the Bucks just, they carved them up defensively. It was the turnovers were the issue. That whenever they turned the ball over, it's not just turnovers. They were live ball turnovers. That it's especially problematic against a Pacers team that plays at the pace Indiana plays at, because you're essentially gift-wrapping them points. And, you know, you look at the numbers, the Pacers are a pretty good half-court team in the offense, which I think surprises a lot of people. It's not a high volume of attempts. They're efficient in the limited looks that they get half-court offense. They get out and run. And you did a good job at times of bottling them up. And you mentioned the three new additions that the Bucks made at the deadline here. Those three guys, to me, two of them were really some of the more impactful parts of the Bucks defense tonight. You've heard me on this show share my thoughts many times on the plus minus, and I by no means do I preach it as gospel and think it's the ultimate telltale sign of individual performance. It's more a team thing. It has to do with the flow of the game, who was on the floor with you. But in watching this game unfold, I remember talking about it after at halftime with someone else that, you know, it feels like when the Bucks went smaller and just put a defense out there that could switch basically everything, that's when they were digging in and getting stops. And when they were getting stops, they were getting out in transition. They were getting better looks. They were making sure if you get stops, the Pacers can't press you. And that started to become an issue down the stretch of this game where we saw more trapping. And early in the game, you saw looks where you thought, is this what Indiana's going to do? Where Dame would start to bring the ball up the floor. They'd keep Miles Turner back there near a half court to kind of throw another body and length there at Damian Lillard. They did it to Giannis a couple of times, too, where you wondered if the strategy was anybody but Dame and Giannis. None of those guys, neither of those two guys, is who's going to beat us. And it kind of tailed off a bit. But when the Bucks brought in that unit, that was Jericho Sims. You had Gary Trent Jr. out there, Kevin Porter Jr., A.J. Green for some minutes. That was the group that was digging in and getting stops. And that was when you started to see the Pacers needing more and more of the shot clock. I mentioned on the broadcast, I don't have what it was for tonight's game. I'm going to be curious to check that tomorrow morning. But in that game on Tuesday, the Pacers' average offensive possession was just under 13 seconds. That was about 4 seconds shorter than the Bucks were holding on to, than the Bucks' offensive possession. So in other words, the Pacers were getting quick looks. It's no surprise with the pace they play at, how they attack. But they were just running, getting down into the half court and getting those looks. The Bucks were having to use a lot of the shot clock. And that was one of the big issues that stood out last year when it comes to pace and how everything can start to bubble up. That's when turnovers start to happen, when fatigue sets in. Doc said after the game tonight, I think fatigue was part of it with some of those turnovers. But the Bucks were able to avoid that with those guys. And that, to me, is one of the more encouraging things because, let's be honest, I think we all assume you're playing the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. Like, I know there's this hope, this pipe dream that's out there that you can catch the Knicks. Stranger things have happened. I will concede that. But you're still 5 games back of the Knicks. You're 4 games back after their loss tonight in the standings. You don't have the tiebreaker. I know you have one more game against them, and that counts as a double whammy. It's a loss for them, and it's a win for you. Sure. But let's assume you win that game. There's still 4 other games you got to outplay the Knicks by down the stretch with then 15 games remaining. It's a lot of work to do. So it remains, and it was coming into tonight with the order still to be determined, and it still, frankly, is to be determined. But it still remains your most likely scenario is you're playing the Indiana Pacers in the first round. I think you have to feel pretty good about how your offense has looked by and large throughout the course of this regular season series. But things like tonight, when you see some of the looks you're able to throw out there defensively with that bench unit, I think you really like that. And it allows you to reevaluate how you use some of these guys. To finish that point, again, maybe the only time or one of the few times you'll ever hear me reference plus minus. Plus 23 for Gary Trent Jr. That certainly matched the eye test. Plus 13 for Kevin Porter Jr. Plus 18 from Jericho Sims. At halftime, those numbers pretty similar as well. At one point, they were all above 20. At the end of the third quarter, plus 21 from Kevin Porter Jr., plus 26 from Gary Trent Jr., plus 18 from Jericho Sims. Those guys made a huge impact on this game, and it's nothing new in the case of Kevin Porter Jr. Once again, the sub of the game. He has been everything the Bucks needed and could have wanted. And again, you think back to that trade that brought him here. You traded Marjon Beauchamp for Kevin Porter Jr., a player that was out of your rotation, that you declined the fourth-year player option on. Whenever you do that, it means you're not bringing the player back. Granted, the Bucks could have. brought him back in the offseason and signed him. You don't do it when you decline that fourth-year option. So you got Kevin Porter Jr. for a player you were moving on from and no longer had a future with this group. And the impact that he has given you, when we go back to early on in the season, the DeLon Wright minutes, Ryan Rollins. And Ryan Rollins was good very early in the season. I think he started to hit a wall. And then, you had the whole what's going to happen with the two-way deal and will he get upgraded. You bring in Kevin Porter Jr., and it just adds to your depth that he gives you that dimension of a player that can hit that mid-range shot. You think about all those elbow jumpers that he's gotten to take, getting to the free throw line much more regularly now. He has great length and athleticism, that he's given you something defensively, and he's more of a true point guard. I think that's the biggest piece to all of this is Ryan Rollins is still a combo guard. DeLon Wright was basically a combo guard. Bucks never really had a true point guard, and it loomed even larger, or was going to loom even larger, with the absence of Chris Middleton and a guy that could run the offense with the second units or in those times that Damian Lillard is off the floor. Kevin Porter Jr. has been an absolute revelation for this team in another big game tonight with 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and a really solid defense along the way. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A couple of more calls to get to here. And I'm sure, as we see a few comments rolling in about it already, I'm sure there's a lot of gripes around the officiating. So we'll touch on that Giannis foul story from this one as well after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Lillard's got it top of the arc. He's going to try to answer. And he connects again. Bombs away. That is his 2,801st career three-pointer right there.
Yeah, Damian Lillard, if you caught the pregame show, Dave had an interview with Dame where he talked a little bit about this series with the Pacers, the rivalry that's there. That was a pretty common thread throughout the pregame coach availability from both Doc and Rick Carlisle of, yeah, there's definitely something there. Rivalries, it can't be forced. It has to be organic. And I remember on this show, we would constantly have the, hey, who's the Bucks rival conversation? And it was always, I guess, the Boston Celtics. The Miami Heat were probably the true or closest to a rival because you do need a playoff component in there as well. It's clear it's the Indiana Pacers now. And again, you are on a collision course to two straight seasons, seeing the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. Remember, you did that early in the ascension of the other version of the Bucks back in the late 90s in George Karl's first 2 years in Milwaukee, where you play the Pacers in the first round, two very competitive series. I still vividly remember both of them. You were swept in, 99, I believe that was, in a three-game best-of-five series, but all three of those games were competitive. The following year, that was a 1-8 matchup. The following year, it was a 2-7 matchup. You were the seventh seed, and you lost in five games. And again, a competitive series, game five. I think we all, if you're a longtime Bucks fan, still remember that Travis Best corner three that knocked you out of the playoffs. And, of course, the following year, the Bucks would go on that run to the Eastern Conference Finals. So we've seen it before, and it does feel like we're going to see this again. Back-to-back years of the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers in the opening round of the playoffs. So we'll take a closer look at why that's the case and the standings and what the latest projections are for both the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers, and I suppose the Detroit Pistons as well. We'll get to that in just a moment, but let's head back to the phone lines. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Kevin in Milwaukee, you're up next.
All right, thanks a lot. Good thing that the coach, Doc Rivers, listens to the Bucks podcast because I think some of those ideas that I shared about lessening the listening to three-pointers and going more inside to Giannis in the games were, adhered. Another thing I think that's going to happen sooner or later is that Brooke Lopez didn't have a great game again tonight. He didn't rebound or he didn't score in the paint as effectively as he had done in the past.
He was 4 of 5 in the paint.
You know, he had a lot of turnovers too, right? He had a lot of, you know, turnovers that caused points on the other side of the court. You know, I think he just needs to be a more athletic 4 or 5 to be out there with Giannis, and I think Jericho Sims is that answer. And sooner or later, if it's not now, maybe it's early in the playoffs, they're going to have to integrate Jericho and bring him in the games a little bit more in place of Brook, because Brook does make a lot of mistakes. He has a lot of turnovers. He misses a number of threes, and he does rebound the ball, and he scores occasionally. But I think a more athletic 4 or 5 out there with Giannis would be a better complement for the Bucks, especially in a fast-paced game of the NBA playoffs.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. We are going to agree to disagree on everything there. Jericho Sims played 12 minutes tonight. I think that's right around what you can potentially expect in the playoffs. Jericho Sims is certainly a huge piece defensively for this group. Jericho Sims is not a starting caliber center yet. Jericho Sims is not a player you're going to play 30 minutes in those types of games and series in the playoffs. And we also have to wait and see what the role is for Jericho Sims and how it changes when Bobby Portis returns to the floor on April 8th. I feel like I don't know where else to go with the Brook Lopez conversation, because we want it one way and you do that, and then we want it another way. Brook Lopez is still one of your more efficient three-point shooters, despite what the narrative out there from Kevin and everybody else is. He's shooting 37% on threes this season. Damian Lillard is shooting 37% on threes this season. Brook Lopez is playing closer to the rim. And then we're going to point to turnovers, and we're going to point to making mistakes. I'm going to keep going back to this, too. Number one, we cannot continue to look at the basketball card numbers and say, well, Brook Lopez had 3 rebounds. He's terrible at rebounding. You have to look at the Bucks' rebounding opportunities and how they rebound. What is their rebounding rate in the minutes that Brook Lopez is on the floor? And we've mentioned this number time and time again. They are in the 90th percentile when Brook Lopez is on the floor. They are nowhere near that when Brook Lopez is off the floor. It's no different than the conversation we have when you watch football and you see a touchdown. And, well, this cornerback got beaten. Well, do you know what the assignment was? Do you know if it was zone that they were playing? Do you know, was the safety supposed to hedge over? Was the linebacker supposed to be under there? Those are things we don't know sitting and watching from the couch. And it's easy to look at a layup and Brook Lopez getting beat by Tyrese Halliburton out there on the perimeter and say, man, Brook screwed up. What was the perimeter assignment? This defense is built to funnel guys into Brook Lopez, not for Brook Lopez to constantly be under attack. You want to contain and force them to a certain side with Brook Lopez. I get the challenge the Pacers have, and what they were successful in doing tonight was getting that two-man game with Miles Turner and Tyrese Halliburton to get Brook Lopez onto Tyrese Halliburton. It's certainly, I'm not trying to say it was a perfect game. It's certainly something you have to evaluate and say, well, how do we avoid this? What are the player groupings we need to work at, or be on the floor, I should say, with Brook Lopez? Maybe it does mean you play Jericho Sims more. There is not a scenario outside of injury or foul trouble where Jericho Sims is going to play more minutes than Brook Lopez from here on out in a meaningful game, in a postseason game. And frankly, nor should there be. Again, I think we're all very high, rightfully so, on Jericho Sims and the dimension that he's given you. But to compare him to Brook Lopez is frankly a disservice to Brook Lopez, and I don't think Jericho Sims is at that level yet. It's a very nice piece to have, and he has given you that, what we just said, you know, minutes ago. The Bucks' best lineups and the Bucks, when they seem to really make an impact and build that lead and say, here you go, starters, was Jericho Sims, Kevin Porter Jr., Gary Trent Jr., A.J. Green, and I think Kyle Kuzma or Torian Prince on the floor. They were switching 1 through 5. They were making the Pacers really, really work all the way down to the end of the shot clock. It still remains to be seen what's going to change when Bobby Portis comes back. And I think we're all probably anxious because of what you've started to see more and more from Jericho Sims. He had 11 rebounds in that win against the Lakers. Tonight, just one rebound from Jericho Sims in those 11 minutes. But again, I think what stood out was what he was able to do defensively and just give you that advantage of, all right, if they're going to try to run this pick and roll, because the Pacers ran a ton of pick and rolls against the Bucks in that game on Tuesday, we got a guy that we feel confident he can switch out onto Tyrese Halliburton. Now, the longer you see Jericho Sims and the longer the Bucks go with that, especially when you get into a best-of-seven playoff series, you got nothing but time to pour through that tape and say, okay, here's how we can attack this. Same with Brook Lopez, right? Same with the Bucks in looking at guys like Miles Turner and the rest of the Pacers. So that's going to be the interesting chess match in this series we all assume that we're getting here between the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. The big thing to not lose sight of, not the exhausting discussion over Brook Lopez and his value and how the Bucks should use him, but the big thing to not lose sight of is, we mentioned this a couple of shows ago, it was right around this time last year, we had a pretty similar feeling about the Bucks of, hey, I like where things are headed. You're starting to really see this team figure some things out and get things moving in the right direction. It was right around this time you had that win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that was March 24th last year, Sunday night at Fiserv Forum. So we're going to be about a week removed from that. But the Bucks won that game and improved to 46-25. And that was probably the high water mark in terms of your belief in this team. You followed that up with back-to-back losses to the Lakers and Pelicans. You beat the Hawks, and then you had a four-game losing streak. Then you beat the Celtics to snap that losing streak. But that was the game where you lost Giannis, and everything was lost after that. But looking back to where they were a year ago, you know, we mentioned that Thunder game, and hey, this is where you really started to feel good about, this is a great win, starting to look like, you know, they're finding something defensively, the offense. What's not to like about what you see there? But that was, you know, a team where, again, Bobby Portis was playing 28 minutes. Pat Connaughton was playing 20 minutes. Jay Crowder was playing close to 20 minutes. Pat Beverly was playing 15 minutes. Danilo Gallinari was playing about 5 minutes a game. Those were your averages. And you look back to that and where this group is now. You know, we haven't quite seen that floor raise. I think that's the big question right now with this team. Hey, we've seen the ceiling, maybe not a ton, but we've seen what the ceiling is with that win against the Oklahoma City Thunder back in December. Some of the other defense is starting to play much better. Nice wins. It's just the floor, and Doc has talked about this too. We have shown when we clean these things up, when we do what we want, when we execute our game plan, we can beat any team. When we don't, any team can beat us. But last year in that the conversation about who was your rotation, and eventually Malik Beasley comes out of the rotation, you're starting Pat Beverly. Last year you only had one way you could play. You know, when you look at a bench of Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Jay Crowder, Pat Beverly, Danilo Gallinari, there's not a whole lot of different pitches you can throw. This year that is not the case. You know, Kevin Porter Jr., we've started to see him play in the backcourt with Damian Lillard a little bit more. He gives you scoring, he gives you defense, and it's not just catch and shoot scoring. Gary Trent Jr., maybe not shooting at the clip that Malik Beasley was a season ago or this year for the Pistons for that matter, but Gary Trent Jr. giving you different components of defense, still one of your better perimeter defenders as well, especially tonight. I think watch the times that Gary Trent Jr. was on Tyrese Halliburton and navigating screens. He gives you something there. Kyle Kuzma gives you a different dimension. He gives you the size in the front court. He gives you ability to switch around defensively. Something at this point in his career, and especially coming off of two ankle surgeries, Chris Middleton wasn't giving you that level, where you have the same level of confidence in the defense that Kyle Kuzma has given you versus what you were seeing from Chris Middleton earlier this year. And then Jericho Sims, too, that it gives you a different type of big, where you have the more traditional guy in Brook Lopez that can defend the rim. creates good rebounding opportunities for your team. And you got Jericho Sims, who can switch on the perimeter. Still a little bit of a rim protector as well. Offensively, he's more of a lob threat. And with Brook especially, we're seeing him play around the rim a lot more, scoring in the paint, and still has that ability to stretch the floor. So that, to me, is the biggest change in where this team is. Almost to the day, lining up with that big win against the Thunder a year ago, where you felt good, but you knew, look, this is Giannis and Dame. Like it's and that part, to be clear, has not changed. But there's different ways you can go about getting to that. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned the standings. We'll take a look at the updated view here after the Pistons lost and you beat the Indiana Pacers. And what the numbers say in terms of what is the most likely scenario for first-round matchup for this Bucks team. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Dame Lillard. They need him to make some plays. Rockets the pass to Prince. Three ball. Got it. Huge three from Taurean Prince to relieve a little pressure.
Yeah, we talked about everything that went well for the Bucks. I mean, that is another one that can't get lost in the shuffle. Taurean Prince, in the way he played down the stretch, a big three that took the lead from 6-9. And four very clutch free throws to help seal this one tonight for the Bucks. Finally taking care of the Indiana Pacers and taking the head-to-head series tonight with this victory. 126-119 final, so Bucks take three of the four regular season matchups against Indiana. With this game out of the way, so actually this has not been updated yet, but as of this afternoon, the Bucks, by the numbers, when you look at the schedule they have left, who is on that schedule, what's the split of home and road, how many back-to-backs come into play, statistically speaking, they had an equal chance of being fourth or fifth, a 37% odds at getting the four seed, 37% chance of getting the five seed. The Indiana Pacers had the best chance at the four seed with a 52% chance. The Pistons only had a 9%. They have an even more difficult schedule than the Bucks do down the stretch. So those numbers are going to change after this game result tonight. But I do wonder if it puts the Bucks past the Pacers. Pacers do have a significantly easier schedule the rest of the way than both the Bucks and Pistons. Well, while it is a game in the standings, two games essentially by way of not having the tiebreaker, it's still a much easier schedule. And you know, this one was interesting because I don't think winning this game removes any doubt that you had and puts you in that, hey, the Bucks are, I feel good about their chances to beat teams like the Cavs and the Celtics. But losing this game would have cost you the tiebreaker because of divisional record. It would have made it really challenging to catch Indiana because of the schedule that you have. And I think that's where maybe not doubt, but at least questions would start to creep in of one by one if we're looking at the big games and tiebreakers. And again, you lose this, you lose the tiebreaker to the Pacers. You've already lost it to the Knicks. You've already lost it to the Celtics. You've already lost it to the Cavs. You could lose it to the Pistons. Like, if we're looking at the non-play-in tournament teams to potentially lose the tiebreaker against the other five teams, it goes back to that conversation we've had many times about the Bucks' record against the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. I don't really know what it means yet. I know it means something. I don't know just how dramatic it is or how significant it is. Best case scenario, finishing 1-9 against those three teams is certainly not ideal. I don't know that it means just yet that you can't beat those teams in a playoff series. But those are the types of questions that start to linger and start to pop up more and more when you lose games like this. So doesn't answer every question you have. It at least prevents those from starting to pop up. So you're up a game on the Pacers. Pistons, by the way, have already played 68 games. So they just have 14 left, and they're already three back of you in the loss column. So you feel like you're in a pretty good spot there with the Pistons. But there is one thing that is going to tell us a lot about this Bucks team. I'll tell you what it is and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world. Hey.
So a lot of Bucks optimism in the chat, as to be expected after a nice win tonight against the Indiana Pacers. One specifically mentioning, look, if you don't turn the ball over, I like our chances against those teams. You go back to the two games against the Cavaliers. The first two you lost by a combined total of 3 points. One of them was lost on a Donovan Mitchell game winner at the buzzer. And competitive enough defensively against the Cavs the last go round, it was just your offense that turnovers and everything else. That's, to me, the most startling is not the right word, but the most fascinating part about this team is they are still one of the best teams in the league at protecting the ball. If you look at their turnover rate on offense, I believe it was 7th coming into the game tonight, not 7th most, 7th best. But when they lose, it's typically a high volume of turnovers and points off of turnovers. So it just stands out more in those losses. So that's something that has to certainly be addressed and cleaned up. But as we mentioned, we'll find out about this team momentarily. Starting on Tuesday, when they hit the road for 5 games on the West Coast, you got the Warriors, the Lakers, the Kings, the Phoenix Suns, and the Denver Nuggets, challenging opponents in a West Coast trip that the Bucks have struggled with in recent years. That, to me, is the barometer. How the Bucks perform in that 5-game road trip will tell us a lot about where this team is headed. Tomorrow night, the Bucks and the Thunder. 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 is when we get started on pregame. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk with you then.